We are on the last few words of Yevamos Daf Nun Beis Nun Aleph Amud Beis. Ketzad. So this is a question based on, I believe, a brisa we brought up at the beginning of Amud Beis yesterday. How could it be Ketzad Asa Ma'amar? Right, so how could it be that what? Or this was the Mishnah maybe. So let's just read the Gemara and see how it comes. So the Gemara says, "Hi, get achar get who? Isn't this a case of a get after a get?" Again, I don't remember the case. I believe what it's saying is, how is this any different than the first case? Meaning the first case that you mentioned was a get achar get. Now you just brought another case of a get achar get. So why are you telling me again? So Amar Yehuda Hachi Amar get achar get umamar acha mamar kida amran. When it's a regular get after a get, you're giving one woman a get, another woman a get. So then the second get doesn't do anything. And a mamar after another mamar, the second mamar doesn't do anything. You're already betrothed, potentially, to the first wife. However, Yavam Echad V'Yavam Achas Ketzad Hatarasan. If you have one Yavam and one Yavama, how could it be? How can you sever that connection? Right, that's Hatarasan. So Asa Mamar B'Yavimto V'Nasan Laget. If you did Mamar with the same woman that you then gave a get, so then Tzrichim and a Chalitza. You would still need a Chalitza from her because the Mamar connects you, but it does not fulfill the Yivam obligation, and a get might disassociate you from the Mamar that you created, but again, it doesn't dissociate you, it doesn't sever the connection from a Yiva, from a Yivam perspective, still need a Chalitza. Asa Mamar, Baal Hare Zuka Mitzvasa. If you did a Mamar and then you had actual intercourse, so then that's a regular Yivam. So Lem Masai Leila Rav Huna, Da'amar Rav Huna Mitzvah Sivam Mekadesh V'Yachar Kach Boel. Then maybe this is like Rav Huna, who understands that the mitzvah of Yibam functions in the same way that a regular marriage does. You first do Kiddushin, you first do betrothal, which here would be called the Ma'amar, and then you do, and then you have intercourse. Then you have Bia. So Ema Af Zek Mitzvasa. Let's say that even this is the mitzvah, meaning it doesn't say this is the only way to do the mitzvah, but this is another way to do the mitzvah. So it's not necessarily like Rav Huna, who thinks you should always do it like this, but it is in line with what Rav Huna says you have to do, because it's one of the ways that you could do it. Says the Gemara Peshitta, why wouldn't it be the problem? Why wouldn't it be a true Yibam? Of course, if you do a mamar and then have bia, so that would be good enough. So Gemara says, "Sakadai techamina, kevadamar marhalas mamar b'yim to parchahim and itigas yivamin." Maybe you would think, "I like this. I like this logic." Although I would disagree on a halachic level, the logic is interesting to, is intriguing to me, because we said that once you do a mamar, it effectually creates a quasi bond which no longer functions in a yibum way, right? You have this bond to them which is not a fulfillment of yibum, but is also not a true betrothal. So then maybe you would think it no longer is functioning on the plane of yibum. It's now using its own words. As we said yesterday, once you do a mamar, you can't do a yibum anymore. Right, if you do a mamar and then another mamar, even Rabbi Gamliel said you couldn't do yibum with the first wife. Right, so maybe you would think that with mamar you're functioning in a different, the calculations are different, and therefore v'chala alav zikas erusin v'nisuin. There's a different kind of zika. There's a different kind of connection, not a yibum connection, and therefore ema lav mitzvah kavit. And therefore maybe after that you would no longer be functioning on a mitzvah of yibum. Realm, Kamash Malan, no, it still is. Just because you did something that made no sense doesn't mean you lost your opportunity for Yibam. Okay. Gufa. Let's go back to that statement from Rav Huna. Mitzvah Sivame Mikadesh Viachar Kachboa. Vimbave Asama Markana. Says Rav Huna that the ideal way, the best way, L'chachil, you should do Yibum, is the same way you would do regular marriage. You do Kiddushin, and then you have intercourse. And then that would be the full way to do Yibum. But if you skipped the betrothal part, if you did not get to do Kiddushin, if you didn't sort of engage in some way before being intimate, so then it would still work. Right? If you did intercourse and then did Ma'amar, I guess that's backwards. So then you would still consider that to be a Yibum. So Gemara says, involve the Asar Ma'amar, Pshita. Kind of bibia. What would be the other possibility according to Rav Huna? You clearly just had intercourse. That's definitely kona for yibum. Why would you ever think that wouldn't be good? Ela ema imbal below ma'amar kana. So I would still think this is obvious, but at least it's a little less obvious because you don't have both components according to Rav Huna, who thinks you should have both components. So if you only had one, you only did intercourse. So that would still be presumably, according to Rav Huna, that would still be good enough, even though he thinks he shouldn't do it that way. So Gemara says, wait a second, Vahatanya Loka. But doesn't the Braisa says Loka? Apparently it's the Braisa that says that you get lashes for doing such a thing, even though that's been our working assumption. This is how you do it. So I don't know why Bryce would say that, but I guess that's Rav Huna's shita. That if you would do,
we'll find out in 1 minute.
Okay. So apparently Bryce says you get malchus for having relations with a yavama, even if you didn't do mama first. So Gemara says, and that would imply that it would be mida araisa, that it's an isra da araisa to have bia without mama. Gemara says, no, it's makas mardus midrabanan. That's not referring to literal malchus on a derice level. It's just a midrabanan. What's the problem with it? Presumably, you're not doing properly. Rishonag kalas rosh biatzmo, because you were acting frivolously. I don't want to go through a process. I just want to have intercourse. And that's a little frivolous, and therefore, at least according to Rav Huna, you should not, you shouldn't do that right away. Okay. Where do we know this from? Derav minaged man de mekadesh bevia. Because Rav would generally, minaged also means to lash. He would also punish a person who would do kiddushin, who would do their betrothal with intercourse. We know this from the beginning of Kiddushin, right? That a ha'isha nikneis b'shlosh adrachim, that a woman can be acquired, can be betrothed, can do Kiddushin in three ways. Kesef and shtar, those make sense. You're having a contract or you're giving her money like we would do today with a ring. And then the third way you can do it is with bia, which is intercourse. So technically you could betroth a woman by having intercourse. However, Rav would say that's not appropriate. It's not appropriate to engage a woman with intercourse. And therefore, Raman de Mekadesh Bashuka, someone who does Kiddushin in the marketplace, meaning not in a private and intimate manner, but rather out in the open. So then that's also inappropriate. You would give them lashes too. Unclear whether or not that applies today. But today, when we talk about engagement, we're not necessarily talking about betrothal. So maybe it wouldn't be the same thing. Uman de Mekadesh below Shiduchi. Well, there's a good one. Someone who does Kiddushin without being set up first. Without a Shidduch. This is interesting. What's your, David, what's your, do you have a text that's different
But it translates shidduchei as a marriage agreement, as opposed to simply being set up first. It says in Rayetz, in the chief meetings is it seems its chief meaning is silence, from which several other meanings develop, likely an appeasement, agreement between a woman and a man, or two families as preparation for marriage. So, I mean, what it seems to mean is some sort of like, and the other note regarding the marketplace is the same thing. It seems like some spur of the moment, impromptu thing with no thought at all.
Right. My impression, therefore, would be also like the word shidduchim is not the way that we use the word shidduchim, but rather means non-premeditated betrothal, meaning it's not planned out. That's not to the exclusion of dating, that's or meeting a woman in a natural way, but it's to the exclusion of, you know, just spur of the moment type of decision.
But I don't know that it means in today's usage an engagement, and so this would mean actually doing the Arusin ceremony on the spur of the moment, as opposed to, you know, when people get engaged very quickly.
Right, that's true.
It's not
talking about our kind of engagement, for sure not. My only question is what Rashi is talking about here. Rashi has a word here, the mitfaker, which is not in the Gemara. The mitfaker, he says, lashon chutzpah shmei is panav lahatris im shliach beistin. I don't know what he's talking about. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong place. No, this is, I don't know. I need to see the Gemara inside, a real Gemara. But it's an interesting phrase. I don't know what he's talking about. Okay. Uman de mevatel gita, uman de maser moda gita. And someone who gets rid of a get. How does he get rid of a get? I guess if he sends a get ahead and then before the get gets there, he stops it. Uman de maser moda gita. And someone who sends ahead a declaration to get rid of a get, which sounds the same thing. Meaning he is, the next part has the words, to misfakir of shlucha.
He nullifies it, I guess, before it gets there, and the woman, if she doesn't hear, could get married to somebody else.
Right, she might mistakenly think she's divorced.
Although, isn't she supposed to wait 3 months? So,
well, she's supposed to wait 3 months to get married again. It's still not nice to make your wife think you got divorced.
Right.
I think it's a regular. I think it's just like a midos thing. Demitz pakar b'shlichu d'rabanan. The problem is you're acting like hefker with the shliach. I can do whatever I want. I'll send a shliach of Beis Din. It's not on my own dime. You know, the community is paying for it. The Beis Din is doing it. So what do I care? Right? So you're basically mishandling or, you know, disrespecting the shliach of Beis Din. Uman de mashai shamta d'rabana alay tzlachin yomin. And someone who stays under the excommunication of the rabbis for 30 days. Meaning, that's interesting. So let's say somebody is getting somebody is excommunicated because they did something wrong. Then they fixed that wrong, and they never told anyone they fixed that wrong. That also is a problem, because you're basically working under the false assumption, or leading others to believe that you're still excommunicated when you really shouldn't be. That's an interesting concept. If you did tshuva, you have to let people know you did tshuva. Or at least the people that that are responsible for your consequences. Have to know you did tshuva. That's kind of interesting. Okay. The Al-Chasna Dadar Bebe Chamuhi. And a son-in-law who lives in his father-in-law's house. I assume this means married couples. That two married couples shouldn't live in the same household for very long.
The Gaonim state that there is a concern the mother-in-law might develop an attraction to her first son-in-law.
Okay. I know my first son-in-law. What does that make any difference?
Neither.
Says the Gemara, did dire in the Khalif lo? Does that mean someone who's mamish living, that's a problem? But someone who's just sort of visiting, that's not a problem? There was that one person who came to his in-law's house, Vinagde Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes gave him lashes even though he was just visiting. So the Gemara says, no, hahu meidam havadayim mechamasei. He was suspected. Meidam. It's an interesting word. Hashuda haitzachamosumer. That he was suspected of having done something with his mother-in-law. Meaning it was an already established rumor, and then he went to her house. So that's a problem. Okay. Naradai Amri, the kulu lo menaged Rav, Alan Makadish Bivolo de Shiduchi. The only one that Rav really would lash somebody for is having a spur of the moment kiddushin without a premeditated shidduch arrangement. Vikata Amri, I feel bishiduchi namilo mishim prisusa. That even with a shidduch, he would. Hold on. Okay, I have a note here in the Sefaria, which I assume is the same as the Koran. It says, there are those who say he would flog a man who betrothed by intercourse, even if he did so with a shidduch. The Gemara doesn't say anything about intercourse.
But my impression is what they're calling a shidduch here is what is an agreement of the sort that we would call engagement today. That's my impression here. So
what's the pretense?
The bottom line is that, you know, he does have some kind of formality or some kind of it's a shidduch. It's something akin to what we would call engagement today, and then he proceeds to erusin by bia.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So it's not like he had like the bia was utterly on the spur of the moment.
Okay, I mean the Gemara doesn't say the word bia, which is why I'm just like wondering where that comes from, but I guess that's what the pretusa would be. You did a shidduch.
Yes, Rabbi Steinzel fills that in.
Yeah, it must come from somewhere. I don't see a Rashi on it, so it must got it from somewhere. Either way, so Rav would even do so with a shidduch if you had intercourse to effectuate the kiddushin. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. Kate said, Ma'amar, what is this Ma'amar? We've talked about Ma'amar over and over and over again. We know it's a quasi-betrothal, but what is it practically? What do you do to accomplish a Ma'amar? So, Nasan la kesef o shavakesef. You give her a ring. Ubishtar ketzah. What about a shtar? Bishtar ketzah. Kedamran. Kasav la ala nayar. O ala cheres. Alfa fisha ein bo shavaruta. You write something on a piece of paper, even if the paper does not have the worth of a pruta. Right, and you wrote Hariat Mikudashesli, you wrote the words of Kiddushin on it. So Amar Abai Hachi Kamar. Meaning, we already know. We know what a shtar is. So Amar Abai Hachi Kamar Shtar Ksubas Yivaman Kitzet. How is it in terms of a Yibam situation? Maybe it would be different for a Yibam Yam Mamar. The Gemara says, Kazavala Ana Ploni Bar Ploni Kabbalanis Kabbalis Yas Plonis Yivimti Alai Ulazun Ulfarnasa Karel Yavavashi Diksubasa. Much shorter than a ksuba that we read under the chuppah, but basically he's saying the same thing in less words. I accept upon the responsibility of the first husband, my brother, fine. If there is no inheritance, not inheritance necessarily, but property from the first husband. So tachila avonu misheni. So then the rabbis instituted that the second husband should take care of it. Kidei shelotei kalabei navlotia, so that it's not easy for him to just divorce her when he wants, meaning he has a responsibility towards her. Essentially, as any ksuba does, it tries to encourage the man to stay with his wife, despite the fact that nobody listens to it, and therefore we have to get a halachic prenup, which binds you, legally, not just halachically. Nonetheless, that's what the ksuba is for. Okay. So we're jumping into getin territory here, but let's say a person gives a get to his yavama. Presumably to his yavama, that's what Rashi says. So, and he says, you are divorced, but I'm not divorcing you enough that you're allowed to marry anybody else. So mahu, does that work or not? Says the Gemara, get yivamba derabananu. Get de mahani be'eshes ish, mahani be'yivamba. Get lo mahani be'eshes ish, lo mahani be'yivamba. Maybe you would say that this is a get yivamba. That's not really a good get in general sense. If it was a get in a general sense, that would work for yivamba. But here, it doesn't work for a general sense. Lo mahani be'eshes ish. That in order to truly have a get in a normal case, you'd have to allow the severance of that entire marriage. So then maybe here too it wouldn't work. Or maybe people come to confuse the bill of divorce with an unqualified bill of divorce given the Yavama by Yavama, and therefore they agree that it should affect the levirate bond, prevent the Yavama from marrying the Yavama. Meaning that maybe this also is good enough to disallow them from getting married. Okay. Lest a person think that you could do the same thing by a get in a regular case. So Amar Le, Chashinu Dem Ma'aseh L'Chluvi B'Gita. We are worried, and therefore they can't get married afterwards. So Ma'askev L'Rabbi Bar Chanan El Me'atzi Avli Na'arav Yama Ha'chanam D'Pasla. Maybe if he gives her any other random piece of paper, which doesn't have anything to do with a get. So that also should disqualify them, lest somebody think that you could have relations with someone you give a get to in general case. So I'm like, no, hasim la pasul v'kuhuna, haf kal pasul v'kuhuna. In that case, giving a random piece of paper is not going to have any halachic effectuation. But in this case, giving a quasi-get to a yivama, it would pasul them from kuhuna. And therefore, there's reason to believe that we should extend that restriction. The Tanya, because the Braisa says, V'isha gusham isha l'yikachu, afilu no iskashu elu me'isha l'yikachu, v'hainu re'ach ha'get sheposu b'kuhuna. Right? That even if you were to separate from a wife, even not fully, but only partially, so then you still shouldn't get married to a kohen. And that's what's called a re'ach, to get a trace of a get. It still disqualifies you from marrying a kohen. Amir Rabbi Barcha Mahare Amru Amar Echad Lilavlar. If a person said to a scribe, "Ksov get la rusasi," write me a get for my betrothed woman. Lich she'echnesena agarshena. When I go to marry her, I will be divorced from her. Hareza get mimnei she biyado ligarsha, because at that point he has the power to divorce her. And therefore, it is a true, valid get. U'isha ba'alma ein get. But to a general woman who he's not already connected to in some way, that would not be good enough. So, bay rami bar achama li'yivim tomah, what about a yivama? Where you are somewhat connected, but you're not yet, there's no betrothal process. So, keva da'agida bay karusa sadama damya, because they are connected already, does that mean she's considered like a betrothed? Oh, Dilma came into Avid Mamar Lo. Maybe because they didn't even do a Mamar, they haven't done this betrothal process. Even in Yivim sense, that's not good enough. So, our favorite word, Teku. I don't know. Okay, by Rav Chananya, Kasav get Lizika Shau Lo Mamaro. If somebody writes a get for the Zika, but not for the Mamar, or le ma'amar of lo l'tzikaso, or for the ma'amar, to undo the ma'amar, but not for the zika. So then mahu, what's the halacha there? So ma'amar yilave zika karami. The ma'amar is coming to, I guess, emphasize the zika. Is that what it's saying? The ma'amar is superimposed upon the bond. Okay, meaning there's a continuation of the ma'amar, and there's a continuation of the zika with the ma'amar. It would be like divorcing a half a woman. And someone who only divorces half of a woman, it's like they did nothing. Or maybe the ma'amar and the zika function independently. And therefore, he could really do a get for either one, either the bond or the yivam. So which one is it? It says, "Amar v'tirshlei mi derava, derava, d'amar rava, nasan get l'ma'amar hu'tzer tzeresa." That if you did a get to a ma'amar, so then the co-wives are free to go. Does that not mean that it's a real get? So the question is, l'rava p'shitalei l'rav chanani mi'vayalei ma'i teku. Yeah, for Rava it might have been obvious, but for Rav Chanani, he doesn't agree. Okay, chalitz v'asa ma'amar. Back to our Mishnah. If you did chalitza and then you did ma'amar, you did chalitza with one woman and then you ma'amar with another woman, presumably after you do chalitza, the bond is gone and the other woman is not allowed to be betrothed anymore. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Zudiv Rav Yekiva, Amar Ein Kiddushin Tosef v'chayi Lavin. That what? According to Rav Yekiva, that you cannot do kiddushin with someone you're usher to. Once you do chalitza, the other woman is usher. And therefore, there is no kiddushin there.
When it says chalitza, does that mean bia?
No. It means you did a full chalitza with the first woman.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I got it backwards.
Back to the Mishnah case. Back to the Mishnah case. So according to Rabbi Akiva, that other woman becomes usher to you by a lav, and therefore you can't do ma'amar with them because it doesn't do anything. You're not allowed to have, you're not allowed to be betrothed to her. But the Chachamim say, in weird phrasing, but there is something after a chalitza. There is what to say after a chalitza. I mean, yesh klum means there is something. According to Chacham, you can still get married to, you can, it would be prohibited, you wouldn't be allowed to, but you could, it would still effectuate a true betrothal. Who says we should understand it like Rabbi Akiva? That the first part of it said, if you gave a get and then did ma'amar, you would need not only a get for to get rid of the chalitza, to get rid of the ma'amar, but you'd still need a chalitza. According to Rabbi Akiva, once you give a get, why would you need ma'amar? That Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that if you give a get to a yavama, so then it's midaraisa, it's fine. You no longer can marry that woman. After you send her away in any way. And therefore, it's aser, and therefore he shouldn't need to do a chalitza afterwards, and therefore you can't interpret this mission to be according to Rabbi Akiva, which says that you can, according to Rabbi Akiva, that the ma'amar is useless after a chalitza. Okay, it says in Gemara, Amravashi get yivamin midrabanan. That get is midrabanan. Cross maps of the alma. When Rabbi Akiva quotes that pasuk, he doesn't mean daraisa. That meaning, what he does mean is it's midrabanan. There's a pasuk that you can, you know, sort of imply the same type of idea. But technically, Rabbi Akiva would also require you to do a chalitza, even after again. Therefore, the Mishnah could still be interpreted as Rabbi Akiva. Tanan Amihach, we have a breast that says, similarly, Amar Rabbi, Ein hadarm halal amurim elo de Rabbi Akiva, shay osa chalitza e ke'erva. Chalitza ke'erva. Rabbi Akiva considers a chalitza like an erva. That what? that once you have an erva, you cannot have any betrothal afterwards with that person, even though it's only a lav. So, aval chachamim omrim yesh achar chalitza klum. There is something to be done after with them afterwards. Vani omer emasai, presumably because it's only a lav. That's why chachamim would say you can still get betrothed to that woman. Vani omer, I guess this means Rebbe says. Emasai, when does that happen? Bisman shekitcha l'shem isha, aval kitcha l'shem yavmus ein achar chalitza klum. The only time the chachamim would say that there could be something after chalitza is when you had done kiddushin for ishus, not for yavama, right? If you come to a woman after doing chalitza and you say, hey, I want to get married to you, I want to do yibum with you, so that does nothing. But if you come to a woman and say, hey, I want to do kiddushin, general kiddushin with you, so then that would potentially work. But there is no yibum possibility there. Tani idach, another brisa says, someone does chalitza to the yavama and then does kiddushin afterwards. Rabbi Omer, im kitcha l'shem ishus, tzrichim en get, l'shem yavamos, in tzrichim en get. If you tried to do yibam, you did nothing. But if you tried to do a regular marriage, even though it was usher to you, it would effectuate the actual betrothal. V'chachamim omrim, bein shekitcha l'shem ishus, bein shekitcha l'shem yavamos, tzrichim en get, l'chachamim say, no, it always would work independent on of how you said the kiddushin. I'm Rabbi Yosef, my time with Rabbi. Why did Rabbi say it? Asua ka oder b'nechse ager uchsavar shalohein v'lo kani. It's as if a person who would own the property of a convert died without inheritors. That person would have that property would be ownerless, and whoever comes to take ownership of it presumably would do something, would effectuate that acquisition. But if the way that you would do it is by hoeing the property, oder, you like till the property, so then if he did so just generally thinking that it was his own property, not because he was trying to acquire the convert's land, so then that doesn't do anything. Meaning it's about your intention or your understanding at the moment of the acquisition that matters. So too with the betrothal process, it depends what you think is going on. So Amalei Abaye, Midami, how's that the same? Hasam lo kamachavim lemikni, hach kamachavim lemikni. In the case of betrothal, it might be that you're trying to do yibum, but that's a type of acquisition. In the case of the land, you're just tilling the ground that you think belongs to you. So halo damya elala oder b'nechse ger zeh uchsever shel ger acharhu tekani. Maybe he's trying to acquire it, but acquire it from a different person, not from this person. And that would be the same thing where Rebbe would also similarly say it does not work. Or they're saying no. They're saying that it would work, and therefore it's a bad parallel. Okay. Ela amar abaye hachima eskina kagon da amar la hiskad shila li b'mamar yivamin. You know, he's trying to do a mamar with her after doing a chalitza. Rebbe sabar mamar yilave zika karami v'asa chalitza afakta lezika. That the mamar would come in extension of the zika, but you already got rid of the zika, and therefore it's nothing. That the zika and the mamar are not functioning in the same way, and therefore when you did the chalitza, you're not necessarily undoing the mamar. Is that what it's saying? Hilchach says Rashi has to make kumei karmei.
Okay,
interesting. Even though it's out of order, it would still work. I don't know how that happens. Wouldn't that work? It also works here. Okay. I think we're going to stop it there. We've got more opinions coming in terms of whether a mamar after a chalitza would work, but we'll save it for tomorrow. Have a good day.
Bye.